Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It is Tuesday. I hope wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world, you're having a very good start to your week. A bit of a quiet week, certainly a bit of a quiet start to the week for Arsenal. Lots of FA Cup action this midweek, of course, which Arsenal are no longer involved in. So we're going to have to take a bit of a watching glance of things this week as we build up towards the Premier League. And there's no Premier League game for Arsenal this weekend. We've got to wait until Monday night for that trip to Sheffield United. So yeah, a little bit of a quiet, a little bit of downtime as we prepare for that game. But after the week Arsenal had last week and the demands of that, the travel, the European trip, then probably best to have a little bit of break. The players had 2 days off, actually. Arteta gave him 2 days off after the win against Newcastle. So Sunday off, Monday off, they're back to it today at London Colney. But still plenty to talk about today. I want to talk about Gabriel Jesus and how he's being managed back into the side. Kind of ties into Thomas Partey and Zinchenko as well, which he spoke about yesterday. So we'll look at his situation and decision facing Mikel Arteta in terms of when to bring him back in to make sure he is ready for the season running. Got lots and lots of questions and comments from you guys as well today, which I wanted to get involved in the show. What else is going on? There's a little bit that I want to talk about Rio Ferdinand. And don't worry this time, I'm not getting sucked into what Rio Ferdinand's had to say. I just wanted to have a little bit of a laugh at what he's had to say today. So, yeah, don't worry. I'm not getting sucked into his rubbish that he's been spouting recently. But I wanted to flag it anyway. So, yeah, plenty to discuss. But first of all, I just wanted to say a big thank you to all of you guys for this. This channel today, it's 4 years old. Well, actually, not today. Yesterday, I think, was a four-year birthday from the first video that I posted and uploaded onto my channel. And yeah, it got flagged yesterday. I didn't even notice, but YouTube sent a little message out saying, it's your birthday, which I thought, wow, four. So I had a little look, and it's unbelievable, really, looking at it. Obviously, up to nearly 95,000 subscribers now on the channel, which just blows my mind. But I mean, 32 million views videos that I've posted have had in the 4 years since that first video went live. You know, watch time of 4.6 million hours. It's just mad, really. When I sat down and started and thought, you know what, I'm going to do a YouTube channel. Never in my wildest dreams would I imagine that this would have happened and that you guys would have supported it as much as you had. So yeah, just wanted to say a big thank you to all of you for the last 4 years, and hopefully, you know, we'll have another 4 years to come, another 6 years to come to reach the 10-year anniversary. Who knows what YouTube or the world will look like in 6 years' time. But just for the last 4 years and for all the support you've given, for all the time you sat down and watched, liked a video, commented on a video, I just really do appreciate it. So thank you very much indeed. Right, let's talk about Gabriel Jesus, shall we now? It's brilliant to see him back on the bench at the weekend. against Newcastle. Bit surprising. Wasn't expecting it, I have to admit. So it was very nice surprise to see it. Obviously, he didn't come on. And I think there's a certain method to that. Method to the madness, if you want to call it that, although it's certainly not madness. I think it's pretty wise, to be honest, not to throw him on. Who knows, he might have come on if the game had panned out differently and Arsenal were desperately in need and a goal. But fortunately for Arsenal, for Arteta, the game panned out perfectly. We're like, we don't need to rush Gabriel Jesus. We need to make sure we get him back fit. Now, I watched after the game at the weekend when all the fans leave the stadium, and I was still there doing my video, doing my player ratings video. And I often see it that the substitutes all come out onto the pitch and they have a sort of warm down game. Or, well, it's not really what I can't even describe it. It's a warm down game, actually, because it's very, very high intensity. And it goes on for about sort of 15, 20 minutes. Small-sided game, sort of in one half of the pitch with full-size goals. And they always have a really intense sort of match. And as I was doing the video and uploading it all, I always watch it. It's always quite entertaining to watch and gives you a good sort of behind the scenes glimpse into how some of the substitutes are doing and the players are coming back. And I watched Gabriel Jesus, who took full part in this session, and I watched him very, very closely, and he was all over the place. You know, there was no easing back into it. He looked, you know, absolutely on it. And I thought it was quite interesting to watch, especially as he wasn't given any minutes in the game against Newcastle. And Arsenal have got to get it right when it comes to Gabriel Jesus. And I spoke about this yesterday when I spoke about Thomas Partey and Zinchenko and Mikel Arteta's comment last week ahead of the game against Newcastle, that Arsenal have to nail the timing when it comes to Thomas Partey's return. And it looks like that return could well come against Sheffield United on Monday night. And when you sort of compare that, compare it to Gabriel Jesus, I think it's a very, very similar situation. Now, you look, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see Arsenal's running with the Premier League games to go. You got Sheffield United on Monday, and then you've got Brentford at the weekend, and then you've got a really big period coming up there where Arsenal play Chelsea at home. Then there's the international break, which, fingers crossed, all the players come back from okay. And then you've got the massive one, you know, on Easter Sunday, Manchester City. Then it's Luton, then it's Brighton away, really tough game. And then it's Aston Villa, who knows, could have a say in this title race as well. They're not that far behind yet, although everyone's saying it's a three-horse race. You know, Villa and Unai Emery are doing a fantastic job in sort of keeping within touching distance. I mean, that's a huge period of games for Arsenal. Absolutely massive. And you want your squad as in best shape as possible. And you want your top players in as best shape as possible. And we can all, you know, I think it's easy to fall into the trap with Gabriel Jesus. And I've seen it. I've seen lots of you comment on it again. He shouldn't walk into the team. And I certainly don't think he should walk straight back into the team, because the team have been doing very, 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 very well in his absence. In fact, I've got a stat here quickly from Albino, if you haven't seen it. Arsenal have scored more goals this season after 26 games than they have in any league campaign since 1963-64. 60 years. And they've netted 69 times back then in 63-64. So 60 years, Arsenal have now scored more goals than they have done since 1963-64, which is a remarkable stat, especially when you consider some of the teams that Arsenal had and the attackers that they've had in that time throughout, you know, George Graham's era, Arsene Wenger's era, all of those times. And yeah, Arsenal scored more now in a season where we're all worried about how many goals they were going to score and how many chances they were creating. So I don't think Gabriel Jesus should walk back into the side, but wow, I mean, you want Gabriel Jesus involved in this title running 100% for his experience, but for his quality as well. And he's a very, very good player. You think in the last game that he played before he got injured against Nottingham Forest when Arsenal won, it was his goal and his assist that gave Arsenal the win, and he was man of the match that day. So it's easy to forget in his absence just how good a player Gabriel Jesus is. Yes, the injuries are frustrating, and it is, you do get annoyed when it's like he comes back, he goes out again. There's a tendency to be, I'll just forget about him. Let's just move on. Let's move on. You can't do that. And Jesus is such a top player, and you want him fit for this run-in, just like you want Thomas Partey fit, just like you want Zinchenko fit, just like you want Tomiyasu fit. So I think managing their return, all four of theirs, but particularly Jesus, whose goals could be so crucial in this run-in in the big, big games, it is absolutely essential you get it right. So for everyone saying, why didn't we play him against Newcastle, why didn't you give him 30 minutes? I think it's ideal for Arsenal, to be fair, that you had this extra week when they can train again this week, and then we'll see him against Sheffield United on Monday. And then you just ensure you get the right amount of load into his legs, the right amount of minutes into his legs, to ensure he is absolutely on it and ready to go when those massive games come around, which is in a really short amount of time now. So let me know your thoughts on the Gabriel Jesus situation anyway, and Thomas Partey and Zinchenko. You know, do you think they should all come straight back into this side? If not, do you think their return is being managed well? I had a comment, and I tried to find it before I did this video. I couldn't find it, but someone had messaged in I think a reply to yesterday's video, said, when does Arsenal's sort of cautiousness over Zinchenko, Jesus, Partey almost become a weakness because we're missing out on having them in some of these big games, which I understand. But I think also when you look at the results recently, it shows that, you know, it hasn't had too much of an impact. But I do agree that you don't want to be too cautious for too long, because you need them back fit and you want to get minutes into their legs so that they are ready to go for these big games that come around, because they will make such a huge difference to Arsenal, no doubt about it, a massive difference. So you need Gabriel Jesus fit, and hopefully he will be fit. Well, he is fit. And hopefully he'll be ready to go for those big games that come around very, very quickly. Right, just on Rio Ferdinand now. And like I said, I'm not going to get sucked into this. I'm not going to get annoyed by it or anything. But I just genuinely wanted to point it out because I thought how hilarious his comment was when it comes to this. And he was talking on his Five podcast on his own YouTube show. And he was talking about Mikel Arteta. And this was such a classic. It's just clearly a wind-up, I think, because I don't genuinely believe he believes this himself when he says it. He says, Arteta would leave Arsenal to come to Manchester United, 100%. No one is saying it's happening, but if Man United in their wildest dreams said, do you know what, Erik ten Hag, thank you, or ten Hag has been poached by Bayern Munich and he goes there, and Man United say, right, top of our list is Mikel Arteta. Arteta is going to Arsenal and saying, listen, lads, it's been emotional, but I've got to move on and I've got to go. I mean, do you genuinely think he believes that? It just made me laugh when I saw it. It made me think, I wonder what Mikel Arteta would look like when he's reading that, or if he hears it, or if he's mad enough to watch Rio Ferdinand's YouTube show. I wonder what he would look like. And then it made me think, probably this. If you're watching on YouTube, I think this is probably the exact reaction of Mikel Arteta reading what Rio Ferdinand has had to say. And I think that is all what we would all think. When you're reading what he's had to say there, because it is clearly just complete and utter rubbish. He's living in la-la land if he thinks that Mikel Arteta would be saying bye-bye to Arsenal and heading to Manchester United anytime soon. Right, quickly on Christopher Olsen. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but really sort of sad and worrying news coming out of Denmark about Christopher Olsen, of course, a former Arsenal player. Arsenal sent their best wishes this morning. This is a tweet from Arsenal to Christopher Olsen. If you haven't seen it, Midtjylland have put out a statement about Olsen, who's a former Arsenal player, of course, came over to Arsenal. I think he made his debut, or he made a senior appearance, I remember, in the League Cup. I think it was the day that Thomas Eisfeldt scored in the win against West Brom in the League Cup a good few years ago under Arsene Wenger, of course. And he's having some real worrying sort of medical issues. And this is a statement that Midtjylland have put out. Said, everyone at FC Midtjylland is, of course, deeply affected by Christopher's sudden illness. Christopher is suffering from what appears to be an acute brain-related illness, which is neither due to self-inflicted harm of any kind nor due to external factors. A team of leading Danish medical experts are currently working under pressure to make a diagnosis and initiate the correct treatment. So really worrying news from Christopher, from Denmark there, about Christopher Olsen, a former Arsenal player. And I can only reiterate what Arsenal said themselves, sending their best wishes to him and his family, of course, and his teammates and everyone at Midtjylland. And hopefully he can have a full and speedy recovery. So best wishes to Christopher Olsen.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, moving on to some of your questions and comments now. I've got quite a few of these today. As I said, it's quite quiet at the moment in terms of news. Arsenal having a few days off, so I thought I want to go through a few more questions and comments than I normally do on the show. First up here is from Corey. He says, "Hi, Charles. Personally, I think I'm completely put off signing Ivan Toney. He's a good striker and consistent, but his price tag, attitude at times, and the limitations he would bring to the team if he did sign are there for all to see. I think if you're going to spend 60 million plus, you need to be signing someone who ticks a lot of boxes. Isaac, Boniface, Osimhen, Vlahovic, to an extent, all make a lot more sense. Even Evan Ferguson. Interested to see your thoughts on this." Yeah, look, Corey, it's an interesting one. I do like Ivan Toney, and I wouldn't be against Arsenal signing Ivan Toney. The longer it goes on, the more I start to think I don't think it's probably going to happen. But there has been interest there, no doubt about it. I think the price tag, unless Brentford seriously reconsider what they're expecting for Ivan Toney, I think that's going to put off not just Arsenal, but a lot of clubs. I can't see anyone going to the extravagant sort of fee that Brentford are demanding. I say can't see anyone, maybe Chelsea, because it's Chelsea. But I wouldn't be against it. I think he'd bring something different to this squad. But there's, you know, I'm absolutely not in that I only want Ivan Toney category. Like I said yesterday, I kind of trust whatever Arteta and Edu go for. They're going to have a specific striker in mind, or forward in mind. Maybe not an out and out striker. It might be a forward in mind, who they think can take the squad forward, and whoever they decide on, I think we have to trust that it's going to be right. I said it yesterday. I think the very top of my list, to be honest, would be Alexander Isak. If Newcastle would be willing to sell, who knows? But I think Isak just fits. I just think he fits Arsenal. His work rate is excellent. His technical quality is excellent. He can play as a central striker, or he can play out left, play out wide left. Really, really skillful. His link-up play is good. He really does press very well. I just think he ticks an awful lot of boxes for me in terms of what Arsenal need as a forward. He's Premier League proven. And yeah, I just think it's right. I think it's a really good fit. So I think he's probably right up towards the top of the list for me. I'd have him above Ivan Toney in my hit list when it comes to a forward. But everyone else you mentioned there, you know, all of them. Boniface, obviously getting a lot of attention. Osimhen, we know, probably is going to move. Vlahovic is finding a little bit of form right now for Juventus as well. Seems to be settling down finally after that big move from Fiorentina. So all of those, you know, if that's who Arsenal go for, then ultimately that's who, you know, I'd be quite happy with. But I think Alexander Isak at the top is for me. Another one about strikers here from Mr. Slinksy. He says, two questions. If we sign a striker, do you think it'll be our number one striker to replace Jesus, or a squad striker that's better than Eddie? And what do people think of Rashford? He can provide cover in all three attacking positions, would certainly add more goals. He seems like he needs more motivation, and Arteta doesn't seem scared of a project. If we get him on a similar package to Havertz, I say go for it, as we could sell both Eddie and Reece. Right, on Rashford, if you'd asked me that about a year ago, I'd have been like, yeah, I would. I like Marcus Rashford. I've always liked Marcus Rashford. Like you said, he can play in a multitude of positions across the forward line. I've been a bit put off by Rashford about, I mean, I know obviously United things aren't great at the moment, and you can see players sometimes when they're playing under a manager that they don't really like. And I get that impression purely as a hunch, no information on it, but I get the impression that a lot of them aren't really appreciating what's playing under Erik ten Hag, and Rashford might well be one of those players. But I'm not sure now. I think I'd rather go somewhere else that doesn't have the emotional baggage and the kind of scars of coming from another club. We've seen it. It's hard to deal with. We've seen it with Havertz at the moment with Chelsea, you know, and although that's going a lot better and he's settling in well, it's an extra obstacle that players have to navigate when they make a move like that. Just being scarred with the sort of taintedness of another club, especially a club like Manchester United. So I'm not sure. No, it wouldn't be something I'd go for. It'd be huge money as well. He's on massive, massive wages. When you say, do you think the striker we signed would be a number one striker to replace Jesus, or a squad striker? I think it'd be someone to replace Jesus. I don't think that would mean that Jesus would leave, but I think if you're going to improve the squad now, you need to sign players who are better than what you've got. I don't think you need to sign a replacement for Eddie Nketiah in the summer, another number two. You need a number one who's basically going to push Jesus level and compete with Jesus for that start. I don't necessarily mean, again, that it will be he'll come in and push Jesus out. I think you can rotate the two, but you've got to raise the quality each time you sign a player. You've got to raise the quality now. That's how Arsenal are going to close the gap on Manchester City. It's not about just doing a slight improvement on Eddie Nketiah. It's about trying to improve on Gabriel Jesus and then raising the level of Jesus while he tries to compete to continue to win back that number one choice. So for me, yeah, it has to be a replacement for Jesus, not a replacement for Eddie Nketiah. Here's one from Louis who asks, this is a random one, but I've noticed Martinelli didn't get credited with the assist for Odegaard's goal against Burnley. It was one of the clearest assists you'll ever see, so I cannot get my head around it. Thought, yeah, he didn't. He didn't. The Premier League's goal panel, whatever it is, or the assist panel that they've got, deemed that it took a really significant, the cross took a really significant deflection. It wasn't meant for Odegaard. It was just a cross into the box that took a big deflection off the defender and went out to the edge of the box where Odegaard was. And so they took the assist off Martinelli, which I think at the time watching it on real time, I didn't even notice the deflection. Even watching it back, you can't really tell, really, but it must be there. And they've taken the assist off Martinelli, which I think was really, really harsh. Fortunately, it wasn't in my FPL team because I'd have been even more annoyed about it. But yeah, he wasn't credited with the assist. And that's why, because they said it, the deflection was such a significant one that he didn't mean for the cross to go to Martin Odegaard on the edge of the area. Here's one from Ben who says, I keep saying you're Ben whenever you send a message in. And if I'm wrong, please do flag me up on it, Ben. But I think I'm right. I'm sure I know that your name is Ben McAteer. If it's not, and I'm just consistently calling you Ben and it's not your name, please do flag me up on it. But I'm going to go with Ben for now. You say, hi, Charles, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what result from the Liverpool versus City game would you want? I guess a draw if that happens. And assuming we win the next one, that could put us top on goal difference with all teams having played the same amount of games. One game at a time, though, and all Arsenal can do is win their old matches. Yeah, that old chestnut, one game at a time. It definitely is true right now. You just got to worry on what Arsenal are doing, because if Arsenal muck up before Liverpool play Man City, that result doesn't really matter. They've just got to concentrate on doing what they're doing right now. But in terms of that game, yeah, look, I think a draw is definitely the result Arsenal would want. It's so tight at the top at the moment that it's really hard to call. I mean, I think City are favourites, and they're favourites for a reason because they've been there and done that, but they do have a little deficit to make up on Liverpool. And so I wouldn't necessarily, and what I've seen from Liverpool so far, I wouldn't necessarily expect them suddenly to fall away. So I think a draw has to be the result that you take. That would certainly be the one that I would go for. And there's some interesting games coming up. I mean, Liverpool go to Forest away, I think, this weekend with all their injuries. You know, Forest, for all their faults away from home, are still a pretty strong side at home. Maybe they could do something there. And this Manchester derby is, of course, coming up. Unfortunately, it's at the Etihad, so you'd think United will just get hammered there, because let's face it, United are terrible. But you never know. A derby day, anything can happen. So we'll see on that. Here's one from C Lord, and this is in response to what I was talking about yesterday about Edu's comments pre-match about just basically telling the fans, look, trust us. We know we've got irons in the fire. We know who we're going to try and sign this summer. Just wait and see. And C-Lord says, just read the Edu comments from before the game, and one of the parts you didn't cover was actually quite interesting. He spoke about how most of the players we have signed are young, energetic and passionate. That did make me wonder if any striker we sign will be a younger player than some of the established names we've been linked with, or could I be reading too much into it? What do you think? And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see these comments that C-Lord is talking about here from Edu. He said, I think if you see the type of players we have at the moment, it's players with big, big commitment to the club, which is very important. So the way we transmit to the fans, transmit to the people, our commitment. Sometimes you can lose, you can win games. It's all part of the sport. It helps us perform the best way possible and show the passion we have for the club to try and win as many games as we can. Many times in certain conversations to recruit players, you don't see the character of the player, or the character of the player does not fit well with what you are trying to do. And then you have to move on and try and find what we're really looking for. If you see all the signings we've made since we started together, everyone is almost the same. Young, energetic and passionate. Good talents with big, beautiful futures ahead of the game. Yeah. So in response to what you're saying, C-Lord, yes, I can see it. But I do think Arsenal from time to time, you can't just sign those sort of players. I think you do still need to, you know, look at what they did with Declan Rice. I know he's young, but he was, you know, Declan Rice is a genuine one of the top players in the world in his position when Arsenal signed him. Jesus as well, I would say, even Zinchenko. You know, there's, you do, Arsenal absolutely target, we know that, the age range, 21 to 23, hungry players, talented players with potential. We know that is Arsenal's go-to player in the transfer market. But I also, and it wouldn't surprise me again, if when Arsenal make signings this summer, that's the player they target. That's the sort of player they target. But also, there is always room just to go outside that box. You can't always just do that. And whether that will be the striker, I don't know. Maybe they will just go for a proven world-class striker. We'll have to wait and see. But it wouldn't surprise me, like you're saying, if they do go out of the box. The names that they're being bandied around, the Osimhens, the Tonys, everyone like that. it wouldn't surprise me at all if they just go completely against all that and they sign someone that none of us have really expected yet, or a name that hasn't really come about yet and that suddenly emerges as a big target for Arsenal. You know, someone like a Xerxes at Bologna, who we know are in Arsenal, have looked at. Sam Dean at the Telegraph reported that, and he came on the show and talked about it. You know, a player like that who none of us have really expected them to go for, then suddenly he's the player that they really firm up their interest in and sign, rather than the big names that everyone's talking about. So it wouldn't surprise me at all, see Lord. And like you said, I thought they were interesting comments as well. So thank you very much for pointing that out. Right, a couple more now before I go. Corey says, Do you think Zinchenko, Partey, Jesus and Tomiyasu have clear routes back into the team? For me, I can't see it at the moment. Kivior, Jorginho and Havertz have been delivering in key stages, and displacing them would be a travesty. I think what we need to factor in here is that, you know, over this running, you can't play the same team week in, week out. It just can't happen. You're going to make changes. And where Arsenal are potentially struggling to do that now is because these players are injured. And that's meaning that the players on the bench, Mikel doesn't really have the most amount of trust in. He'll change it when the game's done and dusted, like we've seen in the last few games. But when it's tight, like against Porto, for example, he didn't really turn to his bench to try and change that. But if he had Zinchenko, Partey, Jesus and Tomiyasu fit, he would be able to do that. And that's why it's so important. So I don't think they should all walk back into the team by any means, but they need to be there to be options. To one week you can play them in a team, or you can have them on the bench, and then you can be confident in making changes in a really big game, say at Manchester City away. You can change things if needs be. So that's why I think they're so, so important. But yeah, I don't think they should absolutely walk back into the team just because of their names. Absolutely, because everyone's been doing so well in their absence. And lastly, just on, this is one from Niels, just on Kai Havertz. He says, hi, Charles, love your daily updates. Thank you very much. Usually listen on Spotify, but wanted your view on Kai Havertz. How do you rate him as a sign-in with his high fee in the context? In the beginning, many labelled him as a flop, but should he now be considered a decent sign-in or even a great sign-in? He has for sure improved and gotten more comfortable in the team and system. I like him, so I'd say leaning towards being a great sign-in. Best regards, Niels. Yeah, I don't know if I'd say great sign-in yet. I think he's been a good sign-in. I think he's proven to be a good sign-in. I think right now he's playing very, very well. He's giving Arsenal options in different areas of the pitch, whether that be a midfield or a forward, false nine, wherever you play him. He gives Arsenal much needed versatility, and he's clearly looking a completely different player now than he was when he started. He's settled in more. I think he feels more at home. He's, you know, goals have helped. He's got 7 now this season. If he can carry on and get himself into double figures by the end of the season, which you imagine he will, that's very hard to really criticise him in his first full season at Arsenal. It's taken him a while. There were confidence issues. I think there still are confidence issues. You look at that chance he missed against Newcastle. I think if we get to the stage when Havertz goes through and starts putting those away, and you feel really confident he's going to put those away, then I think that's going to be another step forward for him. He's always going to have the $65 million price tag hanging over him. Any player who moves for big money, especially from Chelsea, is going to have to deal with that. But I think right now he's looking like a good sign-in. There's no doubt about it. He gives Arsenal versatility. I think I was listening to the Arsecast with Andrew and James yesterday. And I think they made a really good point with, as well as Granit did last season in that role, what Havertz gives you that perhaps Granit doesn't now is, with these injuries that Arsenal have had and options, there's no way you could have played Granit in left midfield one day and then moved him to play as a striker another day. But Havertz gives you that option, and he gives you a really good option to do that, which we've seen in recent games. So I think he's proven to be a really decent signing. I know he's going to go more. He needs to do more to win over a lot of other people. But I think he's been a good signing. Whether he's been a £65 million signing, I think that's still up for debate. But I still think he's got huge amounts of room to grow and huge amounts of potential to get better and better over the next couple of years. So we'll wait and see on that. All right, that's it for me. This one's gone on a little bit longer than I was expecting, up to 26 minutes now. So yeah, sorry about that. It's a little bit longer than I usually do. But thank you very much for so many of you for getting in touch. Like I said at the start of the show, thank you for all the support you've given this channel after 4 years. And yeah, long may it continue. Thanks for watching, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats, BEETS.com, and save 15% with promo code DEAL.